Two branches, one tree. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, I am here to finish the story, or at least cover the latest installment in one of the most iconic 80s slash martial art movie franchises, The Karate Kid Legends, starring Jackie Chan, Ralph Macchio, and Ben Wong. For those of you dropping in for the very first time here on the show, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. If you're also dropping in for the first time, do know that I have gone through and reviewed the previous five Karate Kid films. So if you enjoy this episode and want to hear my takes on the other films in the franchise, they're actually most of them are just right behind this episode. Just me today, folks. Throughout the rest of this review, I have been doing guests on each episode, and this is just going to be a me one. I have been a guest on the show This Seat's Taken to review this movie and the original Karate Kid film that came out earlier this week, and I believe it's coming out Tuesday. Systematic Geekology, which is another show you can listen to here on the Andazile Ministries podcast network. I was a guest on their latest installment of What's New to talk about, do a segment on this film, more of a spoiler-free review. This, I'm not holding back. You're going to get spoilers ahead, okay? There's your official warning. So if you want to get my take alongside other people, there are places that you can go check that out. But today, it is just going to be me. And if I'm being honest, it has taken me a while to decide how to do this review, where to start the whole bit, because for a fairly simple movie and a fairly short movie compared to like the original trilogy, this movie's only an hour and a half long. That original trilogy, they're a little long, if I'm being honest. For what is a pretty simple, very family-friendly film, because of this backdrop of having reviewed all the other films leading up to it, it's been a challenge to kind of think like, okay, where do we start? So I think one place to start is to let you all know right off the bat to ignore the critics' rating on Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you who are very much like, you know, what Rotten Tomatoes tells you is how you decide how you go into a movie. This is one of those instances where ignore the critic's score and pay more attention to the viewer score, because the critics are rating this, I think the last time I checked, it was right around a 59%, which is not good. The viewer score, though, is right around 90-91%. And granted, I'm a viewer. I'm not really a film critic, just so that way everyone's clear. But I'm not a real one. I'm just a dude who likes watching movies. This is one of those instances where I think, even though I am a viewer, that kind of like, it's a solid movie is a better take than the, again, what the critics are rating. I don't really understand what it is that they're not really liking about this movie. I did see some people point to a lack of originality here. I don't necessarily agree with that. As it has been firmly established, we are six movies in now. There are tropes, and this is the third attempt to reboot this franchise now. And so, yes, there are moments where this movie plays it safe. This movie leans into established tropes, but just like the other two reboots, the other two remakes, there are instances where the trope is being changed in a way that you can recognize what should happen, but you see what they're doing differently here. And I don't see what the problem is there. I would also say, given the fact that Mr. Miyagi is like the king of one-liners, especially in that original trilogy, I will tell you this, I think this is the funniest one in the franchise. And that's not a it's so bad it's good, it's so bad it's funny kind of way, like how Christian Ashley was talking about the next Karate Kid. Like, no, I think this movie is genuinely the funniest movie in the franchise. So a couple just like good disclaimers to get us started here as I talk about this movie. One of the things, as we talked about in the last review, talking about the 2010 Karate Kid, the second attempt to reboot this franchise, but in its own separate continuity completely, one thing that was brought up is how this movie is now going to retcon a lot of what happened in that film and to bring it into the Ralph Macchio verse of Karate Kid. And that was kind of implied a little bit in the trailers and leading up to the movie. But the question has always been how. And it's kind of teased a little bit that Mr. Miyagi and Mr. Han, Jackie Chan's character, are old friends. But they actually establish this connection and do it very easily and very simply within the first 4 minutes of this movie. So, like a classic Karate Kid sequel, this movie opens with a flashback, with a recap, this time going back to the Karate Kid Part 2, the scene where Daniel walks in on Mr. Miyagi. They're already in Okinawa, and he walks in on him practicing the Miyagi family kata, and Mr. Miyagi goes on to explain how their family were, you know, they passed down both fishing and also their family karate, and it goes back several generations, started with his whatever it is, great-great-grandfather or whatever the number would be, and who at one point in time, you know, he fell asleep on his fishing boat just off the coast of Okinawa, and when he woke up, he was off the coast of Beijing or China or something along those lines. That is the scene. It then cuts to an animated sequence where it then shows and is continued to be narrated by something that sounds like Pat Morita's voice. I don't know if it's AI or some kind. It's not archival, you know, stuff they didn't use. I can guarantee that. But it sounds like Mr. Miyagi. He goes on to narrate this animated sequence that explains that he was rescued. The ancestor was rescued off the coast of Beijing. He was taught this. Family that rescued him taught him their kung fu, which he then took back to Okinawa and developed into Miyagi family karate. And guess what? Guess who the family was? That's right, the Han family. Which is interesting now how twice, even though we're retconning this a little bit, twice the Miyagis are saved by somebody. And then a martial art lineage is developed through it. So in this case, he is saved by the Hans, and they teach him their kung fu. And that goes on to create Miyagi-Do karate. In the next Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi is saved by Julie's grandfather during World War II. And as a way to say thank you, Mr. Miyagi teaches him Miyagi-Do karate, which eventually gets passed down to Julie. So you do get this interesting, like, bridging point here of martial art lineages being passed down as a way to say thank you for things or because of circumstances. Anyway, so that's how that is the first very easily connecting point here between the two universes. Now we have grafted the two together. And again, almost seamlessly, it was very simple. As opposed to the next retcon, which almost happens immediately afterwards, where we are now in the present day, it is Beijing, China, and we are at Jackie Chan, Mr. Han's Kung Fu School. and it's big, and he has a lot of students. And oh, by the way, the mustache is gone, and so is the dark, withdrawn Jackie Chan, and we are back to standard issue jovial Jackie Chan, which is fine, but obviously, as I'm jokingly referring to here, big tonal shift away from the Mr. Han of the 2010 Karate Kid, which it has been 15 years, so I guess it's not implausible that Mr. Han has opened up. He's a friendlier guy now, and he opened up a kung fu school, and it has really taken off. I mean, his kid did win whatever their tournament thing was called. So I guess all of it isn't implausible, but it definitely is a big shift from the tone that is presented in The Karate Kid 2010. And yes, Jack It On, Jack It Off is brought back in, and that's about it. There's no really other connecting points to this movie. Jaden Smith does not show up at all in this movie, and neither does my I said, I think it was in the last review, how I thought it would be, you know, maybe Hilary Swank will show up here at the end. No, she does not show up either. There is a surprise cameo, though, at the end of the movie. Nothing too drastic, but it's not either one of them. So, but this whole connecting point here, going back a little bit, and especially the how Grandpa Miyagi learns Kung Fu from Grandpa Han, and that's how it comes to Japan and we get the karate started. This is a taste of the real world as well, because if you trace martial art lineage back, although I am no martial art historian, and sometimes martial art history is really hard to suss through because it's a lot of legend and folklore mixed in with historical facts, so it's just kind of hard to break it all apart. But basically, Kung Fu migrated from China to Japan, and over time it was modified and taught to suit their needs, and that's how karate, Okinawan karate, got started. So there is a little bit of a history lesson going on here. It's a little bit historical, and again goes back to this reoccurring line that keeps happening of two branches, one tree, Kung Fu and karate. Although how they are implemented and how really just how they are implemented, how they are viewed, are two very different things. They do share a common history as well. We're then introduced to this film's Karate Kid, Lee Fong. He is a student at Mr. Han's school. He's played by Ben Wong. And this is when, like, the movie proper begins, because who would have thought? His mom got a new job. She's a medical professional, and she's being transferred from Beijing to New York. Apparently, wherever the Mets are at in New York, because there's a lot of Mets stuff being showcased in this movie. So yeah, they're moving all the way. That's a big move. You know, let's not forget, like, New Jersey to California was a big move. I mean, that's one side of the United States to the other, but we're going from Beijing, China to New York because she's a medical professional, and not even like a renowned brain surgeon or anything like that. She's a doctor, just like standard primary care physician kind of doctor person. Like, only like high level like nuclear physicists should be making those kinds of big changes. It happened also in the Karate Kid with 2010 with Jaden Smith. His mom uproots them from Detroit to move to Beijing, and I don't even know if they really even explain what her job is. And there's also the whole conspiracy theory that Daniel's mom never had a job lined up in the original Karate Kid trilogy. So it's just like, it's whatever. This is the part that keeps getting way blown out of proportion. But don't worry, there's an even bigger thing we're going to blow out of proportion here later in the movie. So they make the big move. And this is where a lot of the standard Karate Kid tropes are introduced, but also a lot of them are changed. For an example, although he puts up a little bit of a fight at first when his mom says they're moving, Li Fong never has that breakdown moment like Ralph Macchio or Jaden Smith of like, I hate it here. I just want to go back home. He assimilates almost seamlessly. Almost as seamlessly as they migrated these two universes together. Like, he's pretty chill about everything. And any little, like, nitpicky, like, plot hole, they go out of their way to try and explain. Like, for an example, he has really good English, and that is actually a question someone asked at one point. And he's like, oh, yeah, I went to an English-speaking school in Hong Kong. You know, just, like, they, like, are... They, like, really dig into those moments that's like, oh, that could be a plot hole. And like, oh, no, we have an explanation. Don't you worry. Another example would be, this is the first time where the maternal figure is not just written off or irrelevant. The mom is very present throughout the movie and also is very much against him fighting, him doing any kind of martial arts or anything like that. And it's a refreshing and honestly more realistic take because, another change, Li Fong and his mom are actually the ones with the trauma. It's not, you know, we're not circling back to Mr. Han's family. We're not trying to create something with Ralph Macchio. It's, they have trauma in their life from a year ago that is very much unresolved and both of them, and that's a big crutch within this movie of like them processing this trauma, trying to find ways to process it and to start again and to be their true authentic selves. Also, Li Fong, because he's had such a long martial art career leading up to this point, he actually takes on a student, a retired boxer. And we get boxing introduced into the franchise. So now we've got Okinawan karate, Tong Sudo, Kung Fu, Zen archery. And here you go. New one now. We've got a little boxing for everybody. And of course, there's a love interest. That's pretty standard. One of the other, and again, another standard one, there is a karate studio, looks a little bit more like an MMA gym. I think it's called Demolition. I appreciated that it wasn't just Cobra Kai. And it's better than, well, and of course there's a bully there who doesn't like Li Fong because he's dating his ex-girlfriend thing, you know, just like Daniel and Johnny in the original, okay? And they do a better job than in the Karate Kid 2010 of trying to establish them as a credible villain. I still don't think they carry near as much emotional weight as Cobra Kai and Johnny and John Kreese in the original Karate Kid film. I think that one still takes the cake, but there is a little bit, it's a little bit better than the last installment. And so those are some examples of like, okay, this is pretty standard. We're just continuing on with the legacy, and moments where like, oh, this is how it's normally done, but they've made a major pivot in how they're doing it. And eventually this comes down to, as it always does, the Karate Kid has to enter a tournament to face the bully. Mr. Han flies in from Beijing to train Li Fong, and he goes out to California to recruit Daniel LaRusso because he needs Li Fong to learn Miyagi-Do karate in order to win this tournament. Sure. So keep in mind, this movie is Jackie Chan's Karate Kid with a splash of Ralph Macchio, not Ralph Macchio's Karate Kid with a splash of Jackie Chan. You almost have to get to the end, the third act before Ralph Macchio shows up. Now, once he's there, he has a lot of screen time and there's a lot of interaction between him and Jackie Chan. So I appreciate all of that. And of course, as they're training him, as they're training Lee Fong, Jackie Chan's on one side, Ralph Macchio's on the other side, with Lee Fong in the middle, very much representative of the two branches, one tree. And they have a lot of good back and forth of like, okay, how do we prepare for this? Well, in Kung Fu, we do this. Well, in karate, we would handle it this way. And just kind of this, Lee Fong is literally this like melting pot of the two worlds coming together into him, the one tree now. Now, this is where I'm going to start getting very negative, because a lot of what was happening earlier with Lee Fong being exposed to New York, starting to train this boxer, the whole bit, that takes up so much of the movie, as good as it all was. It took up so much of the movie that the final third, the final act, including the tournament, it's almost like just set pieces. It's just boom, boom, boom. It's almost like one big montage. The last 30 minutes is almost just like one big montage, one after the other. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit, of just like, it's almost like whiplash of just like, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this. The other big thing is, of course, the tournament, because it wouldn't be a Karate Kid movie if we got to the tournament and the wheels didn't fly off this thing. It's called The Five Boroughs. It takes place in the five boroughs of New York. Okay, I'm still with you. It's a street fight. First to eight or knockout wins. You do not reset after each point. You just keep going. And by the way, the championship match takes place on top of a skyscraper. Look, I've never competed in a big city tournament. It's always been like local suburban tournaments. That's not how anything works. Nobody does that. What is this, a Street Fighter movie? Like, and it not only does it happen in the street, but some of these people in the tournament, their names are like, what are you, video game characters in Mortal Kombat? Like, what are these names? Buddha Smith and others. And they're not nicknames either. It's just like, what is this? It just flies off the rails a little bit with that part. The combat's fairly grounded. It's better than in The Karate Kid 2010, where it was very thematic. I forgot to mention, there's a $50,000 grand prize, whoever wins. I don't know how. It's never explained who's sponsoring this thing. I guess it's the Demolition Dojo, because they're also loan sharks. Apparently, that's why the retired boxer has to get back into boxing, because he took a loan out from them. That was a part that was like, sure, interesting. Why not? Who's he with? Okay, proceed. So it's like, it just flies off the rails. That being said, we are going to step back into reality. Whoop, there goes gravity. We're going to step back to reality a little bit here with how Lee Fong wins the tournament. I will say, they worked me a little bit, because there is a moment where it looks like he is going to lose, and it was believable because they had changed so many other things leading up to this point that I was like, oh, well, maybe he does lose. Maybe he's the first one to lose the final fight. We haven't had that yet. But earlier in the movie, he used one of these ridiculous trick kicks that's, you know, cheat 720. I forgot what fancy name they gave it to. A lot of rotations and a lot of big air. And he uses it in a fight at the school against the bully. And the bully easily counters it, because, spoiler, it's super predictable where this kick is landing. So he just easily counters it. So Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio's strategy is, okay, we'll counter the counter in an even simpler way. So he does the kick, learns how to duck, and just wins simply with like a basic strike. It was very good. It was very smart to have this like big thematic thing, but then to actually win, as Josh and I were talking about with The Karate Kid 2010, actually then to win in a simple fashion, because that again kind of shows the two branches, one tree element of karate is flashy because of how it's a strong style. So you get like these heavy blows, very simple heavy blows. Kung Fu's, you know, fun to watch because it's fluid and graceful and multiple strikes. And you see them both together here in the way that Li Fong eventually wins the tournament with a basically the fanciest feint in history of this ginormous trick kick and then just a simple strike, the win. It's really good. It's no notes beyond that. It's stroke of genius there. I am almost out of time and I am not getting another challenge. I have so many challenges to get caught up on. So if you want, again, if you want some more of my thoughts on all of this, then definitely check out This Seat's Taken and Systematic Egology, where we talk about this and other factors within the film. But I can't let you go without giving you the final standing. So here we go. I would rank the Karate Kid films in this order. The Karate Kid, The Karate Kid Part 2, Karate Kid Legends, The Karate Kid 2010, The Next Karate Kid, and The Karate Kid Part 3. You can come for me in the comments that I put The Karate Kid Part 3 at the bottom and not The Karate Kid, or the Next Karate Kid, excuse me. Yeah, you can come for me in the comments. I know it's a bad take. We're all allowed to have one. We're all allowed to have one bad take. But in the end, The Karate Kid Part 3 is just, it's too cheesy 80s. I know the rest of the original trilogy is very 80s, but it's like too 80s. And a lot of that has to do with Terry Silver, okay? Just, I'm done trying to defend the fact that I think that is the weakest link. I don't think it's bad. I actually don't think any of these movies are bad. I just think that is the weakest one in the lineup. But I think we're going to draw this to a close. We've done it. I have reviewed all of them. I feel like I actually accomplished something. The show hasn't even been around a year yet, and I've gotten through all six of these films. Good Lord. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend. Please check out those other episodes as well. Support my friends. These are my friends. Their shows as well. So please support, check those out. You can listen to my voice some more. And check out the other great shows here on the And It's Out Ministries podcast network. And we're not going to turn right around and do this next week, but with Karate Kid Legends now in our rearview mirror, we may set our sights now on the next big martial art movie of this year, Mortal Kombat 2, starring, unfortunately, Carl Urban. It should be Jean-Claude Van Damme. Just already going to be a little bit negative. Sorry. But we'll just see how we're going to build to that next. That's our next big build, and I have a lot of fun ideas on how we're going to build towards Mortal Kombat 2. But this has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I've been your host, Brandon Knight, delivering high-flying action, indeed, in 30 minutes or less, and serving up wisdom one slice at a time.